Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to those who are visiting with us from far places. We're glad you're here. Stuffing ourselves on Thanksgiving is just barely over, and there is another holiday feast coming up very soon. Thank God for the richness of His blessings that He keeps showering down upon us so that even the poorest among our nation have plenty to eat. But even if a person is having trouble finding food, when a person's hungry, even stale bread tastes good. It's great that we live in a world, in the world's food basket. We have an abundance, and yet people are starving for food that could keep them alive. Our nation is a bit like the wandering Israelites in the wilderness when God worked miracles to provide for His people. It says in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day.'" You'll recall that the Israelites had no idea where the origin of the bread, except that it fell from the heavens. And they went out each day to gather a measure, and then on the day before the Sabbath day, they gathered two measures. Well, that bread must have been tasty and nutritious, but no matter how good any kind of food might be, eating the same thing over and over, day after day, week after week, would definitely be challenging for even the least adventurous palate. After a while, the people of Israel complained about the bread that came from heaven, as it says in Numbers 21 and verse 5, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. 'Why have you brought us out from Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread.'" Now, right away, you can see in their words the lie they were telling. If they didn't have any food, they wouldn't have loathed the light bread that they were eating. God gave them a sight of snake along with their bread, but instead of them eating the snakes were biting the people. Back in 2019, the people in China were complaining about the price of pork. China eats more pork than any nation on the face of the earth. And when it was in short supply because of government disagreements for imports, the Chinese people were paying five times what they would normally pay for pork. And most everyone knows about the coronavirus that started in Wuhan, China. The World Health officials say the virus jumped to humans from exotic foods in a Wuhan wet market where you could buy just about anything, including grilled rats and snakes and bats and every kind of animal that walked the face of the earth, even koala bear. And that virus killed hundreds of thousands of people and is still killing people today. I doubt that any of us would buy food from an open-air market like that for fear of flies or birds contaminating the product. In fact, many Americans are so particular that they won't even buy gas station sandwiches. Gas station food has long had a reputation for being the bottom rung of the nutrition ladder. I'm not saying it's not fresh or nutritious, but a lot of people think that there are better things that they could eat. People who travel often usually stop at fast food restaurants instead of buying gas station food. But whether you eat food from a fast food restaurant or from a gas station or from the Wuhan food market, it'll keep you alive. I suppose the question might be for how long. But nearly everyone knows the difference between convenience food and comfort food and nutritious food. But how many people know the difference between food that nourishes the body and soul food. And I'm not talking about cornbread and fried catfish and barbecued ribs. I'm talking about the food that Jesus described that nourishes the soul. And he talked about it in John chapter 6. He had fed thousands of people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But that wasn't the soul food. Later, after leaving the crowds behind for a bit of a solace, some of the people caught up with him, and here is what took place in John chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, where did you come from?" And what they were really saying was, "Why did you leave us? Why are you trying to escape from us?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life." And that food is really the soul food because it nourishes the soul. How much of your food budget do you think you spend on food that keeps your body alive? According to USA Today, the average American will spend around $8,000 a year. And that would be $4,500 for food at home and $3,500 for food away from home. And that might not be exactly what you spend, but how much of your time and treasure is spent on getting the food that keeps your body alive versus getting the food that will keep your soul alive in eternity. The crowds that surrounded Jesus seemed to want proof that Jesus had come from God so that they could know for certain that he would be able to feed them like the Father in heaven fed the Israelites in the wilderness. In John 6, verse 30 through 32, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.'" Now, I understand better why Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus is the word that came down from God, and through his word, life is imparted to those who receive him. As many as receive him, he gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 1, verse 12. Now, what would you say is the most important meal of the day? According to most people in this country, and based on our culture, most everybody would probably say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Now, I don't always eat breakfast. Sometimes I'll skip breakfast. I have gone until 2 o'clock in the afternoon without eating because I'd get so busy with something, usually a study, investigating some principle in the Word of God that is just so interesting. But most people in the country would say breakfast is the most important meal. And as far as the nutrition for our bodies, breakfast might be. I don't know for sure. The research is still out. But if you consider the teachings of Jesus, you might recognize that the most important day, the most important meal of the day, is when you sit down with the Word of God and you take in those words that can nourish your soul. If we understand the true nature of Jesus' words, who said, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst," those words in the Beatitudes that say in Matthew 5, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." would suggest that the most important meal is when we open the pages of the Bible and feast on the Word of God. The empty calories of the commercial food industry just make you want to eat more and more, and yet you still feel like you want more because you're never satisfied. So a lot of people fill up on junk food and then wonder, why do I feel sick and all the while wanting more? There's a vital difference between a bag of chips and a bundle of vegetables. A body feels better eating nutritious food that God designed for the human body to consume. And there is also a sharp contrast between the bread from heaven and the bread that springs forth from the earth. One is earthly. It'll keep an earthly body alive. It's still good, but it only keeps the earthly body alive for a while. The other is divine, and it never perishes. And the soul that takes in the Word of God to receive Him who came down from heaven will never perish. Back up two chapters in the book of John and read a conversation that took place between Jesus and the disciples who had returned from Schnuck's grocery store to do their grocery shopping. Well, it actually wasn't Schnuck's, but it was, you know, a food market nonetheless. And they went there to buy bread. And they came back after Jesus was speaking with the woman of Samaria, and he had convinced her that her friends there in Sychar needed to hear what Jesus had to say. And so the disciples were gathering around, all of these people were beginning to gather around while the disciples returned. And the account comes from John chapter 4 in verse 31 through 34. The scripture says, "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.'" Now, I suppose if we had been there with the limited knowledge that we would have had at the same time that the disciples lived, we would have been scratching our heads just as much. "Therefore, the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" That left the disciples just as puzzled, and it still causes people to scratch their heads, wondering if certain foods are more important than others. There is food that satisfies a deeper longing than any earthly recipe. There is no earthly dish that has the capacity to gratify that longing for eternal life. And that's the kind of food that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger." He's the good stuff. He's better than dessert. And think about it, and you'll quickly realize that we have spiritual needs that far outweigh our need for food. Give a person a fish, and he'll eat for a day. But give people the bread from heaven and they will never hunger again. Learning the solution to the puzzle that Jesus spoke about being the bread of life will change the way a person thinks. They'll no longer focus on the mission to fill their stomachs, but will instead choose to fill up on righteousness. Jesus, the bread of life, once said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That was his mission. He remained focused on that mission. Because others in my household have generally done the grocery shopping, growing up with four daughters, there was always someone besides my wife that could run errands and get whatever was necessary. And as a result, I haven't developed the best practices when it comes to grocery shopping. I remember the first time I went to the grocery store with my wife's shopping list. And I thought, how am I going to find all this stuff? I don't know where half of this is. I quickly realized that if I wanted to get everything on the list, I'd have to stay focused on that mission. And I knew that we needed food to stay alive. And my former habit of going through the grocery store and just picking this or that, whatever looked appealing to me at the time, was not going to suffice when it came to effective meal planning. However, no matter how good a person is at meal planning or food selection or savvy shopping or even food preparation, eventually we all lose our appetites and the ability to eat permanently. And we need to put Jesus's mission first. And he addressed this reality in John chapter 6 and verses 48 through 51 after he said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead." That food that came from heaven, the physical food that rained down as bread, it wasn't enough to keep people alive permanently. It was just a sign of someone greater who could provide eternal life. Jesus said, "This is the bread which came down from heaven that one may eat of and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Ponce de Leon should have been looking for bread instead of a fountain. The people who heard Jesus could not comprehend the symbolic, metaphoric nature of his words. Had they received the word that came down from heaven, they would have understood what Jesus was talking about. They would not have walked away after Jesus discussed something that was difficult for them to understand. Which food do you think is the most important to maintain health and promote long life? If you ask someone who has a financial interest in the food that you're buying, you'll get an answer, but it won't be the answer that you expect. It'll be the answer they want you to have to influence your decision to buy the product that they're selling. So if you ask the Egg Council, they'll tell you to eat eggs every day, no matter how high your cholesterol or how much the doctor says to reduce the fat that you're eating. Ask the milk industry and they'll tell you, drink milk at 3 meals every day, whether you can digest it or not, or you have food allergies. Ask the meat industry what you should eat, and they would have you pile it high on your plate at every meal. But it's not that the milk or the beef or the egg or the pork industries don't understand the principles of health. They don't want to kill off their consumer base. They just emphasize the principles of profit over everything else. Similarly, many of Jesus' disciples failed to understand the greater importance of this spiritual food over everything else that we eat. Remember reading in John 4:34? "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?'" With a carnal frame of mind, the only thought of food for these disciples was the kind you put in your mouth that tasted good, that would fill your stomach and keep you from starving to death. There was even greater confusion after Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And after seeing what Jesus could do, some of them wanted to take Jesus by force, walk him to Jerusalem and put him on a throne and announce to everyone, "This is the King of Israel." And they did it. They thought that because Jesus could do miracles. He fed 5,000 people with just these few morsels of food. John 6:15. "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain all by himself." They didn't understand the meaning of Jesus' signs. They didn't understand Jesus' own teaching. They didn't understand the nature of the kingdom that Christ was going to establish. And these were the same people who were ready to desert Jesus after Jesus talked about eating his flesh. John 6, verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus wasn't speaking about cannibalism at all. He was using words as symbols to help everyone understand the bigger picture, how he could give his flesh and blood on the cross so that those who would believe in him might receive eternal life. And whoever received the message of the gospel, they would live forever. There was a time when Jesus was in a boat with the disciples, and it was clear that they didn't understand Jesus' words much better. Mark chapter 8, verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have no bread?" It almost sounds like something out of Monty Python's movies. Idiots in the boat couldn't comprehend at all what Jesus was talking about. But we shouldn't think that we're any smarter than they are. We have the same limitations, the same prejudices, the same carnal-mindedness, the same temptations that everyone has. And we're still tempted with food, and we still emphasize earthly food way more than we emphasize the spiritual food. Even though Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Way back in the wilderness, when the Israelites wandered for 40 years, they ate bread that dropped from heaven. But they still lacked faith enough to think about where it was coming from. And when Jesus talked about life being more than food, he was saying there is something inside us that needs something more than food. In 2019, there was a teenage boy that went blind by being overly selective about the food that he was eating. It was reported in the New York Daily News, and they were reprinting an article that was published in a London newspaper. The headline read, "Teenage boy goes blind after eating nothing but Pringles, French fries, and white bread since elementary school." The 17-year-old boy who lived in the United Kingdom first went to the doctor at age 14 complaining about chronic tiredness. At age 15, he had a hearing loss and vision symptoms, but doctors couldn't find the cause. By the time doctors discovered his nutrition problem, his vision was irrevocably damaged. He was blind to his need for good food, and then, because of the lack of good food, he really did go blind. And if you make bad food choices, you might suffer some health problems, possibly an untimely demise. But be warned, there are foods that can actually kill you. Undercooked pork can give you trichinosis or tania or an E. coli infection. But even then, it would be a much slower death than having eaten just one cherry pit. The poison in that cherry seed is always locked in the shell, but if you grind it, you'll release enough cyanide to kill you in 5 minutes. If you eat 2 teaspoons of nutmeg, raw nutmeg, not the dried kind, it will cause convulsions and possibly death. 3 teaspoons will do you in. Don't do the cinnamon challenge with nutmeg, or it might be your last food challenge. Apple seeds also contain cyanide, but you don't have to grind them. Just eat 200 of them, and it's enough for your last supper. But no matter which foods you choose or how tasty they might be, there is nothing produced on God's green earth that can give you eternal life. In contrast, following the direction of the Spirit of God, those life-giving words will lead you into eternity. In that place, there will be no more hunger. There will be no more suffering or sickness or dying. And it's too bad that the world keeps filling up on all of the bad stuff listed in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 beginning, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fill up on this stuff and you will certainly perish. However, there are fruits that enable us to live forever. Ponce de Leon, back in 1521, was searching for the fountain of youth. Maybe he should have been searching for the fruit tree. But Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this fruit is what you can fill up on and never be sick, tired, or half dead. Just like you need good food to make your body healthy and strong, you'll need spiritual food to keep your spirit alive. The Word of God is everything we need for sustenance and endurance and salvation, both from sin and salvation from death. There's an old proverb that says, you are what you eat. But that has been revised from the way it was originally written back in 1826. It's not really that old of a proverb. It was a Frenchman who once wrote, tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are. And he was really giving a sales pitch for haute cuisine, which was the French idea of eating the best food. And it was all about eating a healthy diet of fresh and delicious food. But that Frenchman who wrote it is long gone in spite of his good food choices. But Jesus is still alive and reigning in the hearts and minds of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I admit that lunchtime is closer than it was when most of us woke up, and maybe some of us have stomachs that are starting to growl, longing for that earthly food, reminding us of our need to eat to stay alive. But if you chose to be filled with the bread from heaven, your soul will never hunger again. Receive the truth and live. It was the Savior who said, believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And he also said, he who confesses me, I will confess before my Father in heaven. And the Savior said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you would be saved today, then believe the gospel. Turn from your sins. Confess the name of Christ so that you might put on Christ and be raised to walk in newness of life. If you've already done that, and your life has gone away in search of something inferior to what the Savior has provided, then turn again to your first love. Repent and seek God's mercy. And however we can assist you, we're ready while we stand and while we sing the song of encouragement.